I want to talk the fourth in the series this morning. It's apropos that we've been talking about all of this. I want to talk in this series, God Who. I want to talk about His perfections this morning. I'm sorry I don't have a handout for you this morning, but you can take good notes and do a study yourself. And the extreme thing of what we've talked about, and we're trying to center on, who is this that we're serving anyway? And through the years, God has tried to be humanized. We've tried to make Him human. We've tried to think about Him as being angry or sad or love. And so we've talked about all this, trying to focus ourselves again, maybe even going back, you and I, to the basics of who God was. How many remember when you were first saved, how awestruck you were just that God loved you? Do you remember that? Do you remember, who is with me that you remember the first time that you heard God? Maybe it was through His Word, maybe He spoke to your heart, but you were just so awed that the Creator of the universe, the Creator of all that we see, actually loves us and speaks with us. It was amazing to me that God even knew who I was. Come on, somebody. I remember it was just about three days old in the Lord, and I was working away from home, and I was working as a roughneck, and I had driven to get there at work, and it was raining really hard, and I couldn't get the hotel room that I was going to get for that night, and so decided to sleep in the back seat of a little Chevette. And I am not the size for a little Chevette back seat sleeping. And so I remember having a flashlight and reading God's Word, and I was just so awestruck in this raging storm that God began to speak to me and actually told me about the call that was on my life that night, but that God loved me enough to take time to speak with me in the midst of a storm. The omnipotent God takes time to love us. We have spoken of the reality of God, His character, and His attributes. We have stated that He is God and that He has proven Himself over and over again by His creation, by the Word of God, and by the power that exists within Himself. He doesn't have need of anything else, but yet He reaches out to us. How many know God is not going to be heartbroken if He doesn't have people pay attention to Him? Are you aware of that? God doesn't care if you pay attention to Him or not. He loves you. He wants you to. But He's not going to lose anything because everything is within Himself. He's not a human. He's not a man that He should lie. He's not a man that He's affected by those things. While those things we spoke of, the fact that He is infinite and eternal and unchanging, we spoke a couple weeks ago. And then last week we spoke that He is holy and He is love and He is truth. And while those things are awesome and can be examples to us, I want to talk this morning about His perfections. I want to speak of His omnipotence and His omniscience and His omnipresence. These are things that is in within Himself and cannot be shared by us. It's only God that exhibits these things, and it brings us all the more in love with Father who loves us. Just because. To know these things is one thing. Like a good student of the Word, we can state these things. But to walk in these truths, to accept Him for who He is, empowers us. For truly, if God is for us, who can be against us? For truly, if God be for us, who is it that can be against us? This all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God that we serve loves us enough to live in us. Can you imagine? If you don't know that you're worth anything, if you're here this morning and you've been struggling with self-identity and God, you really love me, man, He houses in you. Are you there? And boy, can He remodel. Did you ever notice? Man, He makes us look good. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, God made you look good. He made you beautiful. And when He came in, you were a mess. How many was like me? You were a mess. Nobody wanted to live in me. I stunk. I had rats and bats and mice and mold, mildew. God came in an instant made me something beautiful. An old song that was sung years ago, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, and He made something beautiful of my life. You young people are going, what? Where did that come from? He made us beautiful. So I want to talk first about His omnipotence. God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. Scripture states that God is the God of all power and all might. Years ago, five young college students spent a Sunday in London and were anxious to hear some well-known preachers, and they were on their way to a hut on a hot Sunday to Spurgeon's Tabernacle. And while they were waiting for the doors to open, a stranger came up and asked them, he said, gentlemen, would you like to see the heating apparatus of this church? Kind of looked at him strange. It was broiling day in July, but they consented, and they were taken down some steps and a door was thrown open. Their guide whispered, there, sirs, is our heating apparatus. And they saw before them 700 souls bowed in prayer, seeking for the blessing on the service about to be held in the tabernacle above. Their unknown guide was C.H. Spurgeon himself. I don't want to make anybody feel too bad, just a little bad. When I first started coming here, you couldn't get in the room sometimes for prayer. How many know we have pre-service prayer? All are welcome. We need to be crying out. The heating apparatus of any house is the prayer room. We need to be praying. And when we're praying, we're pulling something from God. We're asking God to move. And when God moves, He moves in an omnipotent way. He's all powerful. He's an all powerful God. He's almighty God. Think about that. Just the word almighty makes, I just pondered that last night. I was thinking about the almighty God, and just an hour or two was just pondering what all that means. He's almighty. That means there's nothing in His creation that can overcome or outdo Him. No matter how much somebody brags or how fearful they seem, my God is an almighty God. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for You. I've had some heroes in my life, and I've had some heroines. No, none of my heroes are movie stars or football players. Come on, somebody. All this, I don't know what this generation, you know, rock stars and football players become heroes. Because they can run with a ball or twang a string. And my heroes are people that have made great strides in the kingdom of God. I have heroes and heroines that if I named their names, you wouldn't know who I was talking about. But they're heroes because they went deeper and wider in God than anybody I know. But they can't even touch Almighty God. And sometimes I'm tempted to have relationship with them over God. Try to get close to them. Try to see what's going on with them. When I don't realize the God of the universe, Almighty God, resides in me. I can go direct to the source. Why would I want to go to the in-between guy when I can go to the source? Come on, somebody. Oh, just a day to walk with C.H. Spurgeon. Oh, if I could only just walk with, you know, if I could have just spent time with David Wilkerson. The power is derived from Almighty God. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Somebody said that's why men make coffee. He brews. That's a bad joke. I'm sorry. Couldn't resist. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Hebrews 1, 3. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Look what it says. And it says, and upholding all things by the word of His power. God is all powerful. He's omnipotent. Upholding all things. We can't look at anything. We can't have anything. We can't walk on anything. We can't see anything. The things that we hear and see in God's creation, it's all by the word of His power that they exist. He's all powerful. He's an all-powerful God. He's an almighty God. Exodus 15:6, your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. I want to note this morning, who can stand against almighty God? No one. What have we got to fear? Ephesians 1:19, Paul says, what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power? Dunamis, dynamite. His power is limitless and all of creation is under His sovereignty. There is nothing He has to work up or convince anyone. He simply is all powerful. God isn't working to be powerful. He's not trying to win any king of the hill. He is powerful, all powerful. He's almighty. He declares Himself almighty. Genesis 17:1, He says, I am almighty God. Walk before Me and be blameless. It's not just man calling Him almighty. God identifies Himself as the almighty God. That means that there's no one above Him. There's no one. He doesn't have any peers. He's almighty God. The word almighty occurs in the Old Testament 48 times. He is all powerful. None greater than He. Thirdly, nothing is too difficult for Him. Many times throughout the Word, this truth is stated. Genesis 18 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Job 42, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Jeremiah 32, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. So when we're focusing on this, who is God that we serve? He's the all-powerful God. Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. So if it's okay with you, we can kind of look at the, because each of us has a sheet in our lives, what we believe and what we find hard to believe and what we don't believe. We need to look again what we find hard to believe and don't believe and move it into the belief column because God is in charge of our lives. He can do everything. Come on, somebody. He can do everything. He's all powerful. He's all powerful. There's nothing too difficult for Him. There's nothing that is overwhelming Him this morning. There's no restlessness in His throne room. Come on, somebody. Even the air of restlessness that we sometimes feel. We say, who's in charge of this insane asylum? God is in control. His throne room is strong. He's all powerful. He's an all powerful God. And it's just not sheer power. See, His character we talked about last week. We talked about His holiness, His love and truth. He does those things that are in harmony with who He is. Some people say, and wrongly say, that God can destroy everything. Just with a word, He can destroy everything. Well, that's true. He can destroy everything, but He won't until the day. God's not going to exact judgment on a nation before its time. He's not a man that He should want to get vengeance. I'm going to get you now. You still overstepped the line. No, my Bible says that He is willing that no one would perish. He's an all-merciful God. You say, how far does His mercy go? A lot further than yours, pal. Because if I were God, it'd all be done. Turn to somebody and say, He's preaching to me today. If we were in charge, it'd all be done. We'd say, that's it. These people were, you're done. wipe everything out, start again. We'd be like, you know, the Xbox. It's reset. Try it again. God's all merciful and all powerful, but he is will never do something out of his character. Does omnipotence mean that God can do literally anything? No, that's not the meaning. There are many things God cannot do. He cannot do what is self-contradictory or nonsensical, like squaring the circle. Nor, and this is vital, can he act out of character. God has a perfect moral character, and it is not in him to deny who he is. He cannot be capricious, unloving, random, unjust, or inconsistent. He's God, he's all-powerful, but his character is God, just as he cannot pardon sin without atonement, because that would not be right, so he cannot fail to be faithful and just in forgiving sins. He's all-powerful. If we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Moral instability, vacillation, unreliability are marks of weakness, not of strength. But God's omnipotence holds true. It's supreme strength, making it those things that are impossible possible. That he should lapse in imperfection is impossible. God is all perfect, all knowing, and all powerful. And just because he can does not mean that he does. This all powerful God, we have to remember his creation has given him given power of its own. His creation, God gave power to, from the stars to the mind of man, God put within his creation power. You and I, because we're his children, have power when we speak. Come on, somebody. I can remember Jackie Smay not realizing what power she had. Jackie was driving, and I was in the back seat. It was old driver's training class. I remember driver's training class. And I'm sitting in the back with two guys, and I'm in the middle, and she's driving, and the teacher is sitting in the front right, and she didn't realize how much power she had. We were coming up on a right turn into the high school parking lot, and he said, okay, turn right here, and she never hit the brakes. She turned right. We took out a stop sign. And the back seat needed cleaned. We don't realize he is a God of power. And he gave us power. Whenever we speak, we have to watch what we speak. Come on, somebody. We have to watch when we curse somebody or curse something. We got to watch when we speak out of our mouths. I hope they get what they deserve. How many know everybody deserves God's mercy? You have to watch. Have to be careful. Nobody here does that. I'm talking about all the other folks. This all-powerful God gives us power. Just because he can does not mean he does. Rather than a pantheistic view that says all energy and action is God, his power resulted in his creation that has power. His creation has power of its own. He's also a God of miracles. He works beyond mere creation to do the miraculous. He's a supernatural God. He is not confined to the atmosphere that you and I are confined to. We look to him. He can cause a sea to part, a day to be lengthened, fire to come down from heaven, a virgin to conceive, heal the incurable, raise the dead, and make you a new creation. He's all powerful. Nothing is beyond his control. No power can overcome his, and there is none that can harm you. You must believe this to walk in faith. He's all powerful. Come on, somebody. God's power is always available no matter what state we are in. Isaiah 40. He renews our strength like the eagles. We will walk and not be weary. We will run and not faint. God is all powerful. God's power is always available to us. He provides victory over sin for his new creation. God resides in every believer. Can you imagine? Ephesians 3 puts it like this. Says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Woohoo! It's like Jackie. Jackie, that's a break right there. It's a gas. It's a break. We loose, we bind. Come on, somebody. We have power because of the all-powerful God. He is powerful in everyday life and in the miraculous. If we're going to move into miraculous because of who he is, we better learn to walk with him in the mundane day-to-day tasks. Being faithful, God is all-powerful. Secondly, God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. Come on, somebody. Am I the only one that's ever went to somebody for advice and not too sure if they know what they're talking about? Especially people with the DR in front of their name. Doctor. Come on, how many have went to a doctor and got a bad report and thought, man, oh day. I got to say, I wonder if they have a good education. Because their report and God's report are sometimes two different things altogether. Whose report will you believe? See? God's all-knowing. Come on, this God, God who? God, who is this God? He's not a God. He's not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he should repent. He knows everything. He's not learning things. He knows things. Am I the only one that's ever spent 15, 20 minutes telling God what he already knows? You ever got caught in that thing? Come on, somebody, be honest. You're just praying, you're fervent, you feel really holy, you know. Feel really holy because you're giving God this whole laundry list of stuff. God, you know, this is what's been happening in my life, let me tell you. And God's like, do you know who you're talking to? God already knows. Now that doesn't mean, see, we pray to build our faith, not to convince him. And a lot of times, I used to pray. I used to have prayer meetings with this old pastor. He was in it. He's still kicking. He's 95 years old. And I'd start to pray, and he'd say, "Don't pray that. You already got that." Right in the middle of prayer, it wouldn't matter who was in the room. He'd say, "Don't pray that. You've already got that. God's already got it. Let's move on." You know, he was in his 80s then, and I want to respect my elders. Sometimes he'd make me angry. I mean, this is the holy prayer I'm praying. It sounds pretty good. God is all-knowing. We have to remember when we go before God, God's all-knowing. And it gives us great comfort that he's all-knowing because we're not trying to talk him into something. We're not trying to rip something from him that he doesn't already. We're not trying to get his attention. His attention is already on us. His knowledge is perfect, Job 37, 16 says. His understanding is beyond measure, Psalm 147. His knowledge did not come by reasoning and reflection, nor through experience. God's not learning, he already knows. Turn to Isaiah 40. Isaiah, the prophet, he already knows. Isaiah 40, 14. With whom did he take counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? That's a rhetorical question. Who taught God? No one. God didn't graduate with honors from anywhere. Now you might say, well, I knew that. But think about that. See, we humanize God, that somehow he got where he got from effort. There's no effort. He was already there. I don't know about you, but that's who I want to pray to. I don't want to pray to Muhammad or Buddha or somebody else. I don't want to give I don't want to go and tell somebody that's just like me all my sins so that they can help me. I want to go right to the source that already knows me, that knows everything, that knew where I was and where I'm going, that he's everywhere. He knows it all. He is the original know-it-all. He's the know-it-all. You can't surprise him with anything. This ought to give you great comfort. Come on, somebody. He already knows. So now when you go to pray to God, when you pray, you know he knows. So you know if he knows, he's got the solution. If he knows what's going on, he knows how to get out of it. No temptation has come upon you, but such is common to man. I knew you were going to face this. I've already made the exit for you. Yeah. He knows. He's an all-knowing God. He is not self-taught. His mind encompasses all knowledge. He knows every aspect of His creation. He made it. From the atom to the universe, He made everything. There's nothing that surprises Him. I was driving the other day through Rochester, and I hit the brakes and went... My right front, and then it stopped, and then it stopped. And so I found out I need new front brakes. So, you know, I began to complain. I said, God, can you believe this? I need new brakes. I can't really afford new brakes right now, but I got to get new brakes for the car. God already knew. He'll provide for me. I have to have great comfort. As I was preparing this message, I was right in the middle of this thing, and God said, I already know. He can declare the new things before they happen. Who else do you know that can declare what's not happened as though it already happened? We try to do that when we mess things up. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, Proverbs 15:3 says. Nothing escapes Him. We sometimes can be tempted to accuse God of unfairness. We're thinking temporarily, and He is exacting judgment and retribution eternally. Lest we lose our faith in who He is. He already knows, and it's not over until He says it's over. And in my Bible says it's never going to be over because I'm living eternally. So He has forever to make it up. If it seems unfair right now, He has forever to make it up. Let me say it again. If it seems like it's being unfair, He has forever to make it up. He'll balance the books. He's going to take care of it. Boy, that frees me up to be who I need to be in Him. Come on, somebody. God already knows. He's an all-knowing God. He's omniscient. Jeremiah 17 says He looks deeply into our mind and heart. You know what? God cannot be deceived. Anybody but me tried to fool God? You know, put our best face on. I'm God. I'm all right, man. You love me, don't you, God? You're going to take care of me. I want to go to the throne room to sit on His lap, and He's taking me to the woodshed. Come on, somebody. He's all-knowing. I try to put my best face on, and God says, no, we got some stuff to deal with. He's all-knowing. He already knows. He does not need to wait until the action. He knows the mind of man. 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I can fool you, I can fool my wife, I can fool everybody else, but God sees the heart. Well, I can't fool my wife anymore. She knows me too well. God already knows. God who? He already knows. And that makes us humble. He's all powerful, and He already knows. He could snuff me out, but He's not going to. Because He already knows. How many know this morning that God is dealing with you as you're going to be, not as who you are? Let me say it again. God is dealing with you as you're going to be, not as you are. Because you're in a state of repair. Come on. All that mold and mildew and rats and bats and things, it's being remodeled. Deep things, the deep things, He all knows. Thirdly, God is omnipresent. God is present in the whole universe. His presence is both in heaven and on earth. Isaiah 66:1 says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Isaiah 6, the prophet says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Jeremiah 23, can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? Just like I said just a few minutes ago, how many have ever said, hey, God, look at me, I'm all right? How many have ever tried to hide from God? Am I the only ones who ever tried? You're really in a mess. You feel like, hey, God, I'll get with you when I get my mind right. I says, oh, I'm right here. I came to live in you. I'll never leave, forsake you. You got to deal with it now. Let's deal with it. God is not totally present everywhere in creation. His presence is not, He's totally present. His presence is not a little here and a little there. He is equally everywhere and in every place. He's not a little bit here and he's more in, you know, we always say it becomes kind of a charismatic thing now that we say, I feel the presence of God here. God is here. That's his manifest presence, but guess what? Duh, he's here. Here is immediately present to every human being. It means he's here. Acts 17:27, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. It's because of God that we even live or breathe or exist. At every moment we are involved with God. Every time we breathe in and breathe out, God's there. We may not feel like it. The activities that we do during the day, we might feel more religious when we get in the house. We get in his house together and sing, and the presence of God begins to move. But God is involved in every facet of our life. Every footstep, every muscle move, every eye twitch, God is involved because he created it. You know, see, come on. Who is God? God who? God, he's everywhere. Psalm 139 clearly states this. Where will I go from your presence? I go to the highest heaven, you're there. I go to the lowest steps of hell. And when we talk about hell, hell is not so much the terrible things that are there, but what is not there. The presence of God to minister to us. In that final day in the lake of fire, the presence of God will be nowhere to be found. Everything lovely, everything beautiful, all the good feelings that are existent upon the earth because of his presence will not be there. That's what we need to relate to people that say no to God. Do you realize what you're saying no to? Every good feeling that you ever had will be gone. Torture and torment for eternity. Not because it's being exacted by God, because he's nowhere around. Without the presence of God, the only thing that can exist is terrible things. He's present. He's everywhere. The God who is omnipresent came in human flesh. That makes it so much more endearing to me when I think of the God of the universe, the God that existed before, the God will exist after, came in human form to rescue me.
God is everywhere. Relegated himself to the body of a man. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He knew those who followed him, briefly limiting himself only to share his freedom.
Only to share in his freedom and eternal home with us. His continuing presence through the Holy Spirit can be realized by us. The God that's everywhere exists in us. When I think about
that, it humbles me so much. You say, God, you can choose to live anywhere. You can manifest yourself anywhere, and you're manifesting yourself in me. You're speaking through me. You're in me. You're here. The God that is omnipresent is in me. His power, his presence, and knowledge allows us to exist as his children benefit from those perfections. God's all powerful, he's all knowing, and he's everywhere, and he blesses with us. He allows us to be who we are.
He loves you so much. His power and presence. He loves you so much. That's why God made personalities. Aren't you glad that there's no one just like you? Can you imagine if we were all Randy Gundrum? Wow. Come on, somebody. That's why God made personalities. The all-knowing, listen. The all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere God created you. Gave you the personalities, the drives that are inside of you, the love, the passion that's in you. God created that. That's not an accident. Don't feel bad about who you are. God didn't make a mistake when He made you. You get excited when nobody else is excited, or you're quiet when everybody else is excited. It took me years to understand that when my wife gets excited, she's not demonstrative. I'm excited, I jump all over the place. Everybody knows I'm excited. When I get excited, I yell and scream and jump around. She said, we have neighbors. Don't yell and scream and jump around. We have devotions at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm yelling and screaming and worshiping. And she said, shh, we have neighbors. I said, aren't you excited? She said, of course I'm excited. God made you who you are. The all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipotent God made you who you are. He lives inside, He houses inside, and He wants the world to know that He's making something good. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't run from who you are. And allow God to finish the work. He who began a good work in you will complete it. He doesn't want you to be somebody else. Don't be intimidated by who other people are. Be who you are. I don't know why, you know, when you get older, the older you get, the less you care what other people think. Am I the only one? My brother Bill can tell you that. He don't care. This wonderful man of God is who he is. He's the most real person I've ever met. If I could just take that and put it into you young people. You young people, be who you are. God made you who you are. Your passions, your loves, your desires, what you're after. God put it in there. All He wants to do is keep it pure. The world would like to impure it, make it wrong, make it. And when it does, it skewers. Because anything that's made according to pattern that takes on another pattern is weird. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. There's a caveat in there. It's allowing Him. Come on, somebody. He's everywhere. He's complete. He has no need of you, but yet He uses you. He has no need of you, but yet He houses in you. The God that needs no place to live, the God that said to David, what house will you build me? Can't build me a house. I don't need any place to live. I'm taken care of. Thank you very much. Decided to come and live in little old Rick. God who? Who is this God that we serve? Oh, You're all powerful. Father, I thank You this morning. Lord, I'm so humbled by who You are, God, that You who created everything I see and know everything that can be known, and You're everywhere, that You love me and came to live in me. God, I pray for those that are listening this morning. God, I pray that they would have a revelation of who You are. Lord, and if there's anybody here this morning that does not have You living in them, I pray right now that they would ask You. And while we're praying, if there's anyone here that says, you know what, I don't know if God is living inside of me. I don't know. I've never asked Him. I just always thought, well, you just go to church. But let me tell you something. God is waiting to come. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He who opens, I will come into him. If that's you this morning and you're not sure, I want to pray with you this morning. I want you to be sure. When you leave here, I want you to know that God is going with you. And when He comes in you, He'll never leave or forsake you. That's you. I want to pray with you. We're all going to pray with you. We're not going to make you stand up and say anything. But more importantly than that is I want you to make sure. If you're sure, that's okay. If there's any doubt, let's take care of it this morning. Father, I'm looking. I don't see any hands this morning, God. So I just pray that each and every one of us would have a revelation this morning of who You are. Lord, thank You for housing in me. Thank You for making Your home in me. Thank You for promising that You'll never leave or forsake. Many times You could have. Many times I thought You might because of the situation that I got in. But Lord, I thank You that You're always here and that You love me. that you love my brothers and sisters. We give you all the glory and all the honor this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.